Well, enforcement issues. Puerto Rico DNR.
Hello, again, Ricardo Lopez for record. I managed to get some information late this afternoon. Oh, the other way. Okay, this was the graph presented in the last meeting that will include information from 2014, 2015. January to April in 2016 and May to July in 2016. This was information that I just got. You see it's in Spanish. Sorry for that. That is information from Barceloneta, Vega Baja, Aguada, Quebradillas, San Sebastián, Cabo Rojo, and Boquerón, which is within Cabo Rojo. Managed to put those cycles in the map just for you to see where are those municipalities. And it's basically a capture of land crab in natural reserves and doing some fishing with live bait in freshwater lakes. Also a minimum size of tucunare and fishing lobster with an illegal gear. So in terms of federal jurisdiction, maybe only the lobster, the last point, is the one that we have to see. All the rest is in state jurisdiction. Any question?
El carrucho, Ricardo.
Yes, you're right. There's a carrucho in Cabo Rojo. Small size of carrucho. Of quinco. Yeah, that's the other one. And that is for the last 3 months until yesterday.
Okay, Graciela.
So there was also some intervention with red hinds because of the differences in the dates when the closure ends.
Yes, at the beginning of the meeting yesterday, you asked me about those two different days, 28 and 29 of February. I asked the commissioner about that. I don't have an answer yet. The same happened when I asked about the investigation that has been done with the fishermen of sea cucumbers. I don't have an answer yet for that either. But I will be looking for that answer for the next meeting.
We need the answer for the next 4 years. Because, you know, every 4 years you have the 29th of February, so we are not in such a hurry. And I consulted with Iris at that time, and she gave me some insight as to what happened. And the vigilante or the ranger, what did they? They consulted with the lawyer of Recursos Naturales and Natural Resources Department. And the answer was that they could sanction the fellow because of the regulation they have. They were fishing west to one line. They were not supposed to fish. Not necessarily have to do with the 29th of February. The other thing that I wanted to add is that we received a communication from Mr. Font, Pauco, from the West Coast, and he was intervened by the ranger because he was fishing with what they call the JoJo gear. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Ricardo, but he checked the regulation, that there's nothing in the regulation in the books that prohibited him to use that JoJo. So he wanted the council to take note of that and ask the lawyers at the council whether there is anything illegal to fish with that gear in the EEC or inside the waters of Puerto Rico. And that's something that I don't know whether we are prepared, Iris, to say anything, or we can, you prefer to for us to send you an email, and then maybe from the next meeting we can answer Mr. Pabuco, Mr. Font. The yo-yo gear is a drum, and they get the line wrapped around that drum, and you can have 5-6 of them, and of course you have the hooks at the end, baited or not baited, or with light or not light, and then as you go cruising, you drop those in the waters, and then they unwrap themselves, and then you come back again, pick them up, and it's a gear that is used by one fisherman or several fishermen. It's not considered a long line fishery. It's a vertical long line, and he was intervened. He was told that he was in violation of law when he asked about what law. The fellow who intervened, well, I don't know, but it's illegal. So he wanted the council to take note and make sure that in the EEC there is no constraint for him to fish with that gear.
That's something we can look into, certainly.
It's a buoy gear. The yo-yo is attached to a buoy, and then they just drop it, and the strap with hooks goes down to the bottom.
Yep, but if you could send an email with the specifics, that would be helpful.
I'll do so.
For us.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I will include his translation of his letter and send it to you.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Graciela.
So the issue with the cucumbers, and the reason why we bring it in, is because there was some illegal fishing of over 500 cucumbers, and it's within the state waters, but it's related to the species that we are going to be managing in the federal waters. So there is a prohibition on the take of cucumbers because of their ecological significance, and they are in the federal list of species to be managed. So, you know, we want to follow up on that because it's something that is being repeated all along the island. So.
Yes, if I can add, it's the same person. It's a Cuban. His name is Pedro, and he's under investigation right now. As soon as I get more information, I will let you know.
For the future, please do not bring any names of people who are in investigation to the record because they jump at us.
It's Pedro Rosello, sorry.
That's a good one. You're going to be fired in January.
Okay, thank you. U.S. Virgin Islands has report, they don't have a report. So we have the U.S. Coast Guard.
Yeah, Lieutenant Tarpray for the record. Just want to update you on some Coast Guard efforts. Not some great successes, but just want to highlight the effort. We are at our full complement of 6 fast response cutters, 1 87-foot patrol boat, and we have station boats at Sector San Juan, and typically we have 1 major deployed cutter to the region. All this probably seems like a lot of effort, but it's not necessarily directed directly at living marine resource protection. If you incorporate all of our inspections, international engagements, and other missions that the Coast Guard's doing, typically we get 1 cutter directed towards fisheries about once a month. And I'm going to highlight one of those future operations coming up. We had 1 case where Coast Guard cutter Joseph Tizanos stopped a Dominican flagged fishing vessel just 18 nautical miles north of Mona Island. Unfortunately, what we thought would be a solid case for EEZ incursion, the case package was not prepared appropriately. Documentation by the boarding team, video imagery and still imagery wasn't available, so NOAA OLE recommended not to prosecute the case. But we were out there and we were patrolling in support of living marine resources. The other case was a Coast Guard cutter, Richard Dixon, who was patrolling in the vicinity of Culebra, where they had initially detected a vessel thought to be on a continuous air supply who was fishing for conch. When they got on board, they realized that they were wrong. And then they noticed that they were harvesting the conch, which the boarding team didn't understand that near Culebra that they could do that. So where a violation was issued, it was later determined that we would not prosecute the case. So those are two unsuccessful cases, but we are out there and we are patrolling. So I just want to highlight that for you. Also, upcoming, due to the closures off the west side of Puerto Rico, we're going to have an increased law enforcement presence there patrolling those areas. We also have directed support, a dedicated cutter that will be doing a pulse operation with DNER, some NOAA OLE, and some University of Puerto Rico scientists will also be embarked. We'll have aircraft overhead patrolling those closed areas as well, who will assist in the detection of people fishing in the closed areas. So I just wanted to highlight that. Any questions?
Yeah, I have one. A while back we had there's a concern from the fishermen and they wanted to know what was the status on a waiver that was requested for the canister life raft requirement that's coming up.
So for commercial fishing vessels operating outside of 3 nautical miles is what it is. I'm not positive about it because Puerto Rico claims out till 9. I can double check, but the requirement would require any commercial fishing vessel to have that out of water survival craft. And so where that came into play in February is when it was supposed to be instated. It was then revoked. So the requirement is not there now.
That's good news.
Yes.
It's going to become a real...
It's expensive.
And spatial problem for the small artisanal vessels that they use to have those canister life wraps on it.
Right. But,
okay. Marcos.
Because we have a lot of turnovers of officials that do different things at the Coast Guard, I just want to state my commitment on keep up with the exercise for fish ID for the officials that come to this area, have been doing that on the past. I think it's a very good exercise. The council, Graciela especially, have been very instrumental on that, on supporting the effort. And from my side, we are available, just for you to know.
Excellent. Thank you, Marcus. So I was previously absent from the past 2 meetings, but my colleagues from Sector San Juan were able to attend. So I think that's good, the engagement at the local level, whereas I'm in Miami. Also, I believe Lieutenant Warren Fair from our Southeast Regional Training Center, he's on the DAP Puerto Rico. He typically will come down and do training, and if we can bring you into that, that'd be excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Graciela?
See, we've had a couple of requests that at sometime in the past, you used to bring the DNER Rangers to the training, Living Marine Resources training, and other social trainings, mostly about boarding. So, you know, there have been requests from local fishermen to have them come back to you and train with you in boarding and intervening with people at sea. So, you know, the gentleness of the Coast Guard versus the roughness of, you know, some of the Rangers and that kind of thing. But the one complaint that they do have about the Coast Guard is because of the change in training. So we are trying to work on fact sheets for the actual species that we have under management. Because, you know, when you come from the Northeast or something like that, the species are different, or the Gulf of Mexico. So they're still complaining about that, whether that's recent or, you know, from years ago. I'm just going to pass along the information. So boarding, bring the Rangers in, and training the Coast Guard with the local species.
Yes, absolutely. We'll definitely take advantage of those interagency training opportunities. Thank you, Garcia.
Anything further for U.S. Coast Guard? Okay, thank you. National Marine Fisheries Service.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the council. NOAA Fisheries, Office of Law Enforcement, Lynn Rios. Going along with what the operation she mentioned, late May, November, OLE brought together members of the Coast Guard and the DNER to coordinate operation for the months of December, January, and February for the closed areas, focusing on the Red Hind. We had the opportunity to have Michelle Schauer there to give us a training on the cycles, you know, and more or less when should we be targeting, you know what I'm saying, the days where the spawning aggregation is supposed to happen. It was a very successful meeting. This is where the operation comes out. For the months of December, we want to be targeting the closed areas, the Red Hind, the ACL closures for the Snapper Unit 2, and the lobsters, and the other closure that you have for November for the wrasses, the jacks, and you know, the parrotfish. And then come January, then we're going to focus more on the closed areas and the Red Hind closures. And then second, we had a case when you guys were talking earlier about the HMS, about shark fins being exported from Puerto Rico. It was intercepted in Miami, and then it was brought for investigation to us. The investigation revealed it was happening at the southeast end of Puerto Rico. It was just local fishermen who had been contacted by the Asian community, and this package was going from Puerto Rico to China. The guy did not have what he needs is an international trading permit, an ITP permit, to export shark fins. And from the investigation, we were able to determine that we had some blackfin shark, black tip shark, some hammerheads, some tigers, and some reef fish. But all sharks that were harvested were all from state waters. And the guy received the notice of violation and assessment for $12,000 for the violation. That's it.
Good job. Good job. Any questions for Lynn? Hearing none. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Okay, that comes to the end of the agenda. Meetings attended by council members and staff. I'm not sure we have any.
I guess that we covered all of them, unless Marcos want to say anything else regarding the HMS meeting.
Just to state on record that everything we discussed before is what happened on the AP meeting of HMS. Thank you.
Okay. 5-minute public comment period for anyone that would like to say something in the audience. Hearing none. Other business? Anything that we have on other business? Go ahead, Marcos.
Michelle Schauer just sent to Carlos and I an email stating that there is a apparatus, a wave glider, collecting scientific information for aggregation of different fishes on our waters. That if you see this glider that have a radar reflector and different other things, instruments attached to it, just let it do its job. And just for you guys to know that it's something that is planned to be there and to be is doing performing a scientific study.
So this is drifting with the currents?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Oh, Richard.
Yeah, so it doesn't drift with the currents. It uses the waves to generate energy, and it actually can swim at a speed of about 3 knots. So it may look like it's just kind of drifting there, but it's actually slowly moving and listening to grouper sounds all the time. And this will be sent out in January in the Virgin Islands and in February on the west coast of Puerto Rico, all along the outer platform.
So let me, okay, Ricardo.
Yes, I sent an email message to Elena copy, Miguel with Michelle also copy, for them to take into consideration to put this information into the Facebook page.
Good job. Good idea. So Richard, this is actually just sending you information to satellite, and then you get the information back, or you have to recover it to get the information?
That's a very good question. And so I'm not on the technical side of this. The glider is built by people at Florida Atlantic University in the Harbor Branch. So they get the information first. But I believe, yes, it is being sent up by satellite periodically while it's up there. Yeah.
All right. I was just asking because it would be a great loss if somebody saw it and took it, and all that information is lost and it's not being fed through a satellite constantly.
Well, if they took it and kept it, the loss of the glider would be a lot of money.
A good idea would be to put a GPS tracking device on that. We can find it in somebody's yard.
Oh, it is. One of the things it sends periodically is its GPS location. So if it does get taken, we can track it.
There we go. Great. Okay, so what Marcus was saying, that we're requesting the fishermen out there, if they see it, please leave it alone. It's doing its job. Thanks. Miguel.
Do you finish with all the other parts of all the business?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other business that we have is that we have a closed session yesterday, and we have to bring it up to the attention of everybody. The council is considering appointing Toto Top Geranke for another 2-year term of the SSC. For that, we need a motion to open. We also were informed that the Southern Fisheries and Center will be replacing Megan Bryant with Dr. Kevin McCarthy. So Kevin McCarthy will be a member of our SSC. We received the communication from the center, Bonnie Ponwith, or somebody from the center. So the SSC will have a complete set of members for next year. In addition, regarding the OAAP, Ruth Gomez will be replacing Makisha, so she will be the new member of the OAP, replacing Makisha. She'll be representing the government of the USB in Islands. We have vacancies in the OAP that we are going to coordinate with the chair of the OAP, Dr. Alida Ortiz, and the chair of the council to fill those gaps. Alida have an idea of inviting a newspaper person that is also knowledgeable about the marine environment, and we believe that he could be an asset to the OAAP. In addition, we are looking for names, at least one name, from the Virgin Islands to see if we can have a fisherman from the U.S. Virgin Islands at the panel. We have one from Puerto Rico, and we encourage always to have fishermen involved. So Ruth is going to look for some names, and she will send us a note. And at the next meeting, you will be informed of what we have. So can we have a motion to accept the appointments of Dr. Tom Geranke to the SSC and Ruth Gomez to the OAP?
I'd like to present the motion as expressed by Miguel.
Second and say yes.
Second. The motion is to accept Todd Geranke back in the SSC for another term and to accept Ruth Gomez as part of the Outreach and Education Committee for the council. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries.
And the last part is that we are going to institute, after revising our charter for the SSC, sort of a policy: if you do not comply with the requirement of having your financial disclosure filed within the council, you could be expelled from the SSC. And the reason for that is that although the requirement for the financial disclosure for the SSC member is a little bit different from that requirement of the council members. For example, council member cannot vote if we don't have the financial disclosure submitted on time. The SSC can vote, but he or she will be in violation of the regulation if we don't have the financial disclosure at the office. So we want to enforce that the best possible, because These guys are genius, absent-minded guys, but still they need to comply with the requirements. That's all we have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Bill.
I should probably alert you that there's a new format for your regional operating agreement, so I've taken the liberty of taking the one that you did in 2013 and smashing it in, thanks to Sarah Stevenson, smashing it into the new format. You'll be seeing that. I'll send it down to you guys for acceptance and authorization.
Thanks, Bill. Miguel.
This is the last meeting of the year, and here we we'd like to recognize always the people who are working very hard with us through the years. And the first one is Bill Arnold and his group. We have Maria del Mar. I don't know how many other people you have in your branch, but I know they work really hard to put together all this material. What you see when Bill has a presentation is the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of work underneath when Maria del Mar comes here. And we want to not take note of that and be thankful for what you do to us, with us all this year. And especially Arnold, he he's always a present when the fisherman wants him to come down. Fisherman trusts him because he's a person that is knowledgeable about the fisheries. He has an academic background that supports what he says, and we want to thank you for that, Bill. And the second one is Graciela.
Well, Maria does all the work. I don't actually do anything.
Well, we don't want to tell the secret, but Maria has been instrumental in putting all of this together. And most of the material, when you see a well-organized material, is Maria del Mar is behind it. Actually, I keep saying this, but the best presentation about the whole system, from the top of the iceberg all the way down to the base, about the MSA and the Council of Cities, have been put together by Maria del Mar, the EMBRET, that was held together by the EMBRET group in La Palguera some time ago. And the leader, Cabecita de Algodón, behind Bill Arnold, Graciela, she, I call her the data person. She knows where everything is, everybody is buried. And she's always eager to put together the materials that we need, and she can talk to a fisher, she can talk to a kin, and she's very effective on all that. So for that, we really appreciate your work, Graciela. And he's an author of a book that hopefully you will receive a copy next year with the other two. The book was presented to us some time ago, so we want to, at the end of the year, say yes. And also, I want to recognize the staff of the council. The lady to my right here, she's always kicking me under the table, telling me not to screw it up. And all the council members and members of the family that we call the Caribbean Council, Julian Nelson, the guy from St. Croix, Ed. Because, you know, through the years, when we started, it was a rare occasion where you saw fishers around the table. Now the fishermen are more educated about, not in terms of academic, but they know, they have more knowledge, they are more aware, that they understand this issue. So they are instrumental in what we do. So with that, we are really grateful, and I hope that okay, yeah, no. And then we have a lady at the end, looks like a Barbie, but I tell you, she's really. She will be a Barbie mother, and I asked her, do you think that you, in your stay, you can come and take it the whole 8 hours with us? And she said, yes. So she takes pictures. She fight with Russell about the computer not working. And she's an asset to the council. And hopefully next year her family will increase by one. And we wish you the best in 2017. Behind her we have... Yeah. And this is one of the things I like, Angie, because, I mean, Graciela, he's also kicking, Diana, he's always kicking me and say, you're forgetting about Angie. I'm terrible about names. Okay, I call Graciela, Diana, and mix it up. But Angie in the back, she's a silent fiscal officer, but she's the one who put our numbers together every year. And We also thank you for that. And in the council, we have the face of the council too, is, and the voice that you hear most of the time is Iris. We call it Iris because we have Iris now. So in order to mix it, Iris Oliveira, she's always there and she's always willing to help and assist. So I wish you the best during the holidays to everybody, and hope to see you next year with the same enthusiasm to work. And whenever you see that we are not doing the right thing, just kick us and tell us you're screwing up. Put your act together and we will try to do our best. So thank you for coming. I will see you next year.
No, we meetings.
Huh? Schedule meeting for next year.
No, yes. Hasn't finished yet.
The schedule meeting for next year?
Okay, we said that it will depend on the two meetings of the SSC and the DAP. So we will coordinate with the regional office and the staff to see which is the best time for the meeting. But we will try to lock the dates at the beginning of the year so those people who are very busy can mark their calendar. Bill, I believe that what you said is around April, probably the next meeting, if everything goes smoothly.
Well, I thought you guys like to meet after Easter because the prices go down.
Yeah, after Easter in St. Croix will be our next meeting. So we will send you a note as soon as we can next year as to when and where the meeting will be.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming and season's greetings. And I hope Santa fills your stockings with a lot of nice toys. This meeting is adjourned. It's at 3:04 p.m. First time ever for a council to finish at 3:00. Take care. This meeting